Good morning, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the show certainly didn't disappoint, but for some, the crowds did, even though the influx of tourists was more sparse than originally anticipated. What kind of economic impact did we see locally from last month's solar eclipse? Visit Findlay's Alyssa Preston will help us break it down. Also this morning, it's been attempted many times over the years. Now a group of residents in Allen Township believe concerns over corporate and renewable energy expansion should persuade voters to support the latest zoning initiative. We'll learn more. And happening around town, get ready to rally in the alley after work to kick off your summer weekends. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. Here's some good news. The Toledo Zoo celebrating two new arrivals, baby lemurs born earlier this month. Yesterday, they shared the names of the new lemurs at the Toledo Zoo, Aurora and Borealis, which is kind of clever. And also clever on a couple of different levels, most notably because either of those names could sort of be gender neutral, thus avoiding the rather embarrassing situation that they had a week or so ago. You remember when they had to rename the baby elephant that they thought was a boy, but turned out to be a girl. And if they can't tell the difference between a boy and a girl elephant, I would imagine that lemurs, which are considerably smaller than elephants, might be a little difficult to judge the gender as well. So they're kind of playing it safe with the names Aurora and Borealis. The baby lemurs reportedly healthy and happy, enjoying their time with mom. And I'm not sure if they're on public display yet. I don't believe that they are. But it's been a very busy spring, the Toledo Zoo. So kudos. Congratulations. Lots of cool things to see at the Toledo Zoo. I know the baby elephant is now on display, but I'm not sure about the baby lemurs as of yet. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, among the first things that you need to know this morning. You remember last week we were talking about the myths, separating myth and fact from those new trendy weight loss drugs, Ozempic, Wegovy. Some researchers now, happen to see this on the Newswire this morning, some researchers believe that these treatments could have an unusual side effect. They become very popular. Initially, they were diabetes drugs. And then they become extremely popular for weight management because of their propensity to help people control their weight. And so this has become a very popular use for these drugs. And now researchers have discovered an unusual side effect of Ozempic and Wegovy. And I'm not sure exactly what triggers this, but they say impulsive behavior could be a side effect, which would include things like making major life changes on a whim, gambling to excess, risky sex, these types of impulsive behaviors. Experts in London who have researched this suspect that the weight loss injections change dopamine levels in the brain, which then could lead to trouble controlling impulses. The potential associations we have come across have mainly been related to changing personal relationships, such as divorce or splitting up from what seemed to be a stable relationship, according to Professor Raymond Playford of the University of West London. Kind of interesting. Impulsive behavior for those who are on those weight loss drugs. Something to bear in mind. Speaking of medical information, and this could be this day's news of most lasting significance. Chinese doctors claim to have cured a 59-year-old man of type 2 diabetes. This is according to a paper published in the journal Cell Discovery. The man received a new cell transplant treatment in 2021 and has been off his diabetes medication since 2022. And here we are, 2024. The experimental procedure created a type of artificial pancreas that produces insulin. And so the man who had been suffering from type 2 diabetes for 25 years is now off his meds. Professor Timothy Kiefer says the breakthrough could free patients from the burden of chronic medications, improve health and quality of life, and certainly reduce healthcare expenditures. Now, mind you, 38.4 million Americans currently live with diabetes. So if we have come up with a cure. Now, here's the thing. Mind you, it is in China. These doctors who are making this claim are from China. So it's the same country that gave us COVID. make of that what you will. How much stock you put into this depends, I suppose, on how much you trust the Chinese doctors to be on the up and up. But again, this research paper was published in a noted medical journal, so there must be something to it. Who knows? This could be a breakthrough in diabetes treatment, and if it becomes that, then you can remember that you heard it here first on the 29th of May, 2024. I remember hearing about that. It could be big, big news. Do you know, this is kind of interesting here, again, among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Do you know someone who always likes to talk about how busy they are, almost to the point of bragging about it? Research out of the University of Georgia finds that people who complain, quote unquote, complain about how swamped they are to the point where it seems like they're actually bragging about it. Yes, they're complaining, but they're more kind of bragging about, oh, I'm so busy. This research finds that those individuals, and everybody knows someone like that, are generally less likable than the average person. They're less likable. The team asked over 300 people to rank coworkers who bragged about stress, simply stated that they were stressed, or did not mention stress at all. So they gave them three different scenarios of a coworker who would constantly talk about how stressed they are, simply mention it in passing, or didn't mention it at all. And now, of course, while venting about work stress is common, researchers warn that workers sometimes use it as a badge of honor. Because what they found was that stress braggers can start to make other people feel overwhelmed, causing a ripple effect. Bragging about one's stress can also make an employee less likable and seem less competent. The lead author of the study, Jessica Rodell, the University of Florida, or University of Georgia, said, "When I was wondering about why people do this, I thought maybe we were talking about our stress because we want to prove that we're good enough. But what they found was that it is something that often backfires, that people don't like those who brag about or constantly talk about how stressful they are." And again, we all know somebody like this. Maybe you are somebody like this who constantly mentions how stressful you are. And you may say, oh, I'm not doing it to brag, but that's the way it's coming across. Something to keep in mind when you are talking about your workload and your stress levels with your coworkers. And lastly this morning, among the first things you need to know, the baseball record books are about to undergo a big change. According to this report, and I believe this was USA Today, or I saw this report, all of the former Negro League players are going to have their statistics officially incorporated into Major League Baseball's historical records. Major League Baseball elevated Negro League statistics to Major League status back in December of 2020. And you remember when that made headlines. But the addition of Negro League stats now officially makes Hall of Fame catcher Josh Gibson one of the greatest of all time. He spent his entire career in the Negro Leagues and is now Major League Baseball's new all-time career leader in batting average, slugging percentage, OPS, and he holds the all-time single-season records in each of those categories, all-time single-season records in all of the tops of the career list and tops the single-season records in each of those categories. So, big rewrite, the Major League Baseball record books. And I remember when they announced that they were going to do this back in 2020, and there was some, I don't want to say pushback, but there was some discussion about including the Negro Leagues in the Major League Baseball record books. But that's where we are. Kind of interesting stuff there from USA Today. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started here.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Showers today, maybe a thunderstorm, a high in the upper 60s. Becoming partly cloudy tonight, a low around 50. The Highway Patrol says road safety needs to be top of mind as we're now in the 100 deadliest days, the stretch between Memorial Day and Labor Day, when deadly crashes, especially those involving teens, spike nationwide.
According to the Ohio Traffic Safety Office, in 2023, there were more than 100 fatal youth-related crashes in Ohio during the 100 deadliest days, so about one death each day. Then the AAA Foundation research found that nearly two-thirds of people injured or killed in a crash involving a teen driver are people other than the teen behind the wheel.
ONN's Kiara Lake reporting. The city of Findlay says it's delivered around 350 trees to people who requested a free tree from the city since the city announced the opportunity in February. Lori Chalala, who lives on South Main Street, took advantage of the program and got two new trees.
Gave us a list of ones that they had available. We picked two. They said, okay, we're coming out in a couple weeks. They let us know. It came out. They set the tree here. A couple days later, I walked out and the tree was in the yard. And then the next day, they brought the little watering bags.
Get more of our conversation with Lori about her new trees and information about requesting a free tree from the city and this story on our website. Habitat for Humanity of Findlay-Hancock County will be dedicating two new homes in Findlay. Habitat will officially finish construction of its 58th home during a home dedication ceremony open to the public on Tuesday, June 4th. And then the organization will officially finish construction of its 59th home during a home dedication ceremony on Tuesday, June 18th. The ceremony on June 4th will be held at the build site located at 1408 Logan Avenue in Findlay. And the ceremony on June 18th will be held at the build site located at 201 Durrell Street in Findlay. Both homes were built in just 10 weeks by nearly 600 volunteers representing many corporate build teams and organizations that enable their employees and team members to take part. Get more on the upcoming home dedications in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Now our cover story this morning. So what was the economic impact from last month's solar eclipse? Numbers are starting to roll in now, and Alyssa Preston of Visit Findlay is with us in the studio this morning. Obviously, we spent a long time talking about this in the lead up, and one of the big things that we talked about is, you know, this is going to bring, you know, people to Findlay to spend their money, accommodations and shops and restaurants and so on. Obviously, the crowds were not quite as large as what we had originally anticipated, a number of reasons for that. But the bottom line, did we see a big economic influx?
Yes, we absolutely did. And we're finally starting to see those actual numbers and results. It's kind of been that looking in the crystal ball since April 8th of what really did happen. Mm-hmm. So we do have some travel research that has come across our desk, and we definitely saw an impact. To compare it, it was one weekend of what we would typically see in a June of sports travel and other things going on.
Okay.
So the impact was condensed mm-hmm. into just a few short days.
Yeah. And so it was not necessarily unprecedented because, again, going into this, nobody really knew exactly what to expect. But the thought process was we could see an influx of people, the likes of which we have never seen before.
Sure. I think
it wasn't quite that.
Right. I went in thinking the data charts we have, we were going to be off the charts mm-hmm. of what we typically. But the word I keep using is it was a manageable event.
I think this is one of the things right after the eclipse happened and we were doing the kind of the postmortem on the whole thing. And I believe we might have mentioned with the mayor, it did seem as though we had about as many people as we could comfortably handle,
absolutely.
Could comfortably manage.
And it wasn't, I think when we look at a sports tournament, we're condensing everybody into the cube or a sports facility.
Mm-hmm.
As we drove around the day of the solar eclipse, all of the viewing sites spread out throughout Hancock County were full. So you didn't see that impact in one place. I think that was hard for the community to grasp that
yeah.
there were people here, but mm-hmm. they were where they should be. And
yeah.
we were all spread out and it was really comfortable.
Exactly. And as opposed to, you mentioned a sports tournament or Flag City Balloon Fest, where you've
correct.
Got basically the same number of people, but all compressed into one space,
yes.
As opposed to being spread out. And at the end of the day, you glad that you kind of managed it the way you did?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even though it wasn't the crowd we thought it would be,
mm-hmm.
The folks that were here were so appreciative of the pieces that were put into place, the hospitality. That's one thing our hotels, retailers, restaurants have said. These folks were all so happy to be here and so happy with the accommodations. And, we had travelers from international places all across the U.S. that never would have come to Findlay, Ohio before, but now mm-hmm. they can say they've been here and had a great experience.
So putting our best foot forward is the, that was the goal going in. And again, there are many reasons why the crowds were not what we had kind of thought going in. Part of that is you plan. I say plan for the worst and
yes.
hope for the best, but you plan for maybe even more than what you would reasonably expect. And then if you don't get that, so much the better. So there was some of that. You wouldn't necessarily call it disappointing, though. It's not that it was anything that we did locally.
No. And this, I would say, was a gift to us. We would never have an April like this as an economic impact.
Mm-hmm.
And the rate we were able to bring in on hotel rooms, we wouldn't ever look back and think we should have done it differently.
Mm-hmm.
How we handled it was perfect for our community.
Yeah. So what are the numbers that you actually have? I mean, I know some of it is a little ambiguous in terms of the actual physical data, but what do you have now that you look at and can make this determination?
Sure.
From?
So what we look at through the CVB is our hotel occupancy, and we have a travel research firm that pulls all of our hotel information in. On an average weekend, our hotel rooms bring in about $75 a night. Over Sunday, Monday, the average was well over $100 per night, and we were at full occupancy. So we're looking at that as a huge jump
yeah.
in what we would typically see in April. And when we look at our graphs and kind of compare back, June prior to the pandemic was the biggest boom we saw in an impact like that.
Mm-hmm. What about for like shops and restaurants, retail and that kind of thing? I know a lot of times they don't give you specific
sure.
numbers, but do you have anything tangible to go on, like
so
tax
we're still,
receipts, that
yeah,
kind of thing?
Still waiting on those sales tax
okay.
receipts, and that I think will be the true colors to show through. But
mm-hmm.
Specifically our downtown retailers that were carrying solar eclipse type swag in
mm-hmm.
their spots.
Yeah.
Starting in early March, they were seeing holiday-type sales. So people were, the excitement was there. Locals that were hosting family and friends were buying all sorts of things just to have at their home. And they were shipping all across the U.S. of just neat little solar eclipse things. So holiday-type sales is what they are reporting.
Which is obviously very encouraging, given that it was in April,
absolutely.
Not during the holidays. Yeah. So looking ahead then, is there anything that can be done or anything that you are doing to, you know, maybe reach out to some of those folks and invite them back to the area? I mean, you know, kind of long-term, this is the opportunity, as you mentioned, people coming here that wouldn't necessarily come here otherwise. Sure. Any opportunity to bring some of those people back?
Absolutely. We do some digital marketing that we follow you if you've been to our community, and we keep sending messages. So there would be opportunities like Balloon Fest, or if there are like-type activities. The Mazza has great things going on that just trying to compartmentalize those niche markets that we can get people back into. So yes, we are seeing some areas that we're able to continue to talk to the folks that we're here visiting.
To kind of build on some of that. I mean, you know, it might be unrealistic to expect someone from Kansas or Iowa,
right,
to come back for something like that. But for the folks who are closer by,
yeah,
you know.
And something we did leading up to, we picked science centers just around the region, Detroit, the Neil Armstrong Museum, Columbus, COSI, and we were talking to those folks, sending messages that, you know, we're here for the eclipse, we have things. So we'll continue to talk to those folks and hope that they come back and experience some more in our community.
So hopefully the eclipse will have sort of a lingering impact for the community. But good to know that, as we kind of suspected, it was a comfortable crowd.
Absolutely. And these may not be folks that would come back for a weekend visit, but mm-hmm. when they're driving from here to there, Findlay's a great place to stop. And
good
that
point.
Restaurant we ate at, we should go back. We should get Dietz's ice cream again. Those type of things, I think, will stick.
Yeah. Again, Alyssa Preston from Visit Findlay with us this morning, kind of a post-game analysis, if you will, on last month's solar eclipse. Which, again, hard to believe that it's just been a few weeks.
But we're looking forward to summer and the great events that we have annually to keep people coming back.
So now we get into the busy season.
Yes, it is.
Alyssa, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Chris.
It. Well, it has been attempted many times over the years, and now a group of residents in Allen Township believe that it is time to look at this again. That is the idea of zoning in Allen Township. We are joined in the studio this morning by Dan Pritt and Matt Bottinger, representing Allen Township Neighbors, this group in support of the zoning initiative. Gentlemen, thank you both for dropping by this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting us.
It's like 10 out of the 17 townships in Hancock County are zoned. Allen Township, to this point, is not one of those. Why not? Why has this been rejected in the past?
Well, I think there's a history, a long history, mm-hmm. of pushing back against it because of the thought process that we want to do what we want to do with our property, mm-hmm. and no one should be able to tell us what those things are we can do.
Yeah.
And that works to a point, and we certainly understand that. However, things change, as they often do. And there have been a lot of things said within the city of Findlay, the government, mm-hmm. part of the city of Findlay, specifically the executive of the city of Findlay, has been pushing significantly to have growth in Findlay, make Findlay the new energy hub, mm-hmm. of Northwest Ohio or the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if you extend that statement, that's at the expense of those residents of Allen Township, because we are not zoned.
Yeah.
We are the only unzoned township that still is contiguous to the city of Findlay.
An important designation. As we mentioned, this has been tried numerous times in the past. This has been brought up. If memory serves, most recently it was about 10 years ago when the adult bookstore went in off of I-75 at 613. And the attempt at that point was rejected by the voters. And so immediately my thought is, if that doesn't do it, what is different now?
Different now? Well, first of all, the adult bookstore and that saga. We have it now, but there has since been some talk by our township trustees to limit any further development in that respect. Same with marijuana shops. That is something that the trustees of the township can or do have some say over at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What we
with or without zoning.
Correct.
Yeah.
What they don't necessarily have say over is, say, an energy company that wants to do supposedly on-site wind or solar development that supposedly ties directly into a neighboring business.
Yeah.
And there are really no restrictions on it whatsoever.
Yeah. And to be clear, what we're talking about is One Energy and the expansion that they have recently announced in their relationship with Whirlpool, again, both within Allen Township. You mentioned that state laws do give the township trustees and property owners some say with respect to certain things like marijuana sales and so on. A couple of years ago, the state also passed some laws giving property owners some more protection with respect to wind and solar projects and how they are allowed to propagate to help protect property owners. Why do you feel that those are insufficient?
Well, there are acknowledged loopholes in that legislation, mainly being that any wind development that is under 5 megawatts in total power is considered economically insignificant and thus is not governed by the state of Ohio, the Power Siting Board, the setbacks that are required, which if any of that was followed, none of those turbines could have been built, even the existing ones. And that remains a huge, huge issue. And I just want to be clear, we are not anti-anything. We are pro-protecting our homesteads and our farmland.
Yeah. See, Allen Township has been traditionally residential and mainly agricultural.
Right.
And so the residents that are there, 2,000 plus, they really enjoy living there. But what they are opposed to is an infringement upon their right and choice for self-destination when it comes to voting for zoning or not.
So you bring up a good point. I wanted to mention this. On the website, the Allen Township Neighbors website, you say very prominently that you are not opposed to alternative energy, wind projects, and so on. And yet that seems to be at the crux of the argument. So can you coexist?
Oh, I think certainly. And I think in the new zoning book that is – it's almost done, but not quite, which is what brings us in today and what we want to talk about for this evening. And this is our time to look at that. Can we coexist? Certainly, there are, in that book, there are very specific ideas and areas that these things are placed into these districts. And that has a place for us. What doesn't happen in this new book is that you place these very large pieces of equipment, these very large machines. The owner of One Energy was in here and spoke of this and how it's scary. It is scary because, as an example, the new 2.0, the new wind turbines,
right,
they're slated to be approximately 50 feet taller than the Washington Monument.
They're being placed
within hundreds of feet, not thousands, hundreds of feet of homes that it's just not realistic.
Yeah.
It's not safe.
Have you engaged One Energy in some of these conversations, expressed these concerns to
Every time One that there's been a trustee meeting or a zoning committee meeting, One Energy has always provided a person there to film and document what's been said. So it's pretty much open record. And we feel as though that we are being inhibited of self-determination, a choice of the matter when it comes to zoning. One Energy has sued the election board. They have sued the trustees. They have sued the individuals. What kind of neighbor is that? Somebody that doesn't want to talk about the issue, or somebody that wants to prevent the issue of us determining what should happen in Allen Township?
So, Matt, as you mentioned, you alluded to, you actually have a town hall meeting for individuals, concerned individuals, to learn more about this proposal that is happening this evening, correct?
That's tonight at the Presbyterian Church in Van Buren, 207 West Market Street, at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And again, the book is not yet written complete, okay?
Yeah.
So we can propose, we are not the zoning board.
I was going to mention.
We Dan and I are just here as sort of spokespeople, and
for the citizens group,
concerned residents of Allen Township,
right?
And so at this point, it's a draft, okay? And the best part about a draft is that it can be changed with relative ease. And my suggestion is that anybody that has a concern, come tonight and listen. There's going to be a lot of specifics about the hot button issues, other than the ones we've been talking about.
Certainly,
okay?
more detail than what we can get into on our time here this morning.
Exactly. We need at least an hour to go through the other. But anyway, so we've had several of these other town halls, and questions that were directly brought up at those previous town halls by people that were in attendance. We took those suggestions or questions, posed those to the next zoning meeting, and many of those things were actually implemented into this zoning draft that we have for tonight.
Yeah.
And it's a very easy process at this point, okay? And then after it gets into the hearing stage, that's when things get a little more challenging to change. Now is the perfect time.
Now is the time to make your voice heard.
It's the grassroots portal for people to give their opinion and shape the zoning in which governs their township.
And you feel that that is really the key to making this happen now, where previous attempts have failed.
Yeah. Previous attempts have been one issue. In this particular issue, it's about the future of the community and the future growth. Uncontrolled growth is not good for anyone, and greed-type growth is not good for anyone other than the person who's trying to impose their opinion on people. So we want this to be open, fair, informative, and educational.
We will leave it there. Again, the town hall is this evening at 6 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock at the
Presbyterian Church, Market Street, Van Buren.
And we have a link on our webpage for more information from the Allen Township Neighbors Organization. Dan Pritt, Matt Bottinger, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So it is travel season, as we know, and for those who are amputees, it is not uncommon to have some extra hassles when going through airport security, just because of the prosthetics and so on. Have to be removed or have to be inspected, and it's just a big hassle. But this is something that I think goes above and beyond. Certainly was rather unexpected. The Dublin Airport in Ireland, Dublin Airport, a woman who underwent a mastectomy was ordered to remove her artificial breast after it set off an alarm. That's, I don't know what it was made of, but it says here, Rialton Neelianian said she felt she was shocked. It was kind of like a deer in the headlights when her prosthesis set off the alarm of the new scanner technology, according to a report in the British newspaper The Independent. The security officer didn't even offer to pat me down. He said, well, I'm not sure that I would either if I was a security officer. I'm not even going there. But she said it was very uncomfortable. The security officer stood and waited for me to remove my prosthesis. The airport says that the woman could have requested a private screening, but she believes airport protocols should be clearly outlined and available online so that people in her position won't have to go through what she did. Wow. I had no idea that that would be an issue, of all things. But there you go. Now you know. Just plan accordingly, I guess. Speaking of flights, another rather odd story. This is something that you don't expect. Your flight. Flight out of Australia ended up turning around an hour after takeoff when a passenger allegedly stripped off all his clothes and ran up and down the aisle stark naked. Stripped off all his clothes and started running up the aisle, running up and down the aisle in his birthday suit. The unnamed man reportedly knocked a crew member down as he was, you know, I guess getting some exercise. I'm not sure what's going on here. Passenger, another passenger said there was a lot of yelling and screaming. And two other passengers got up and tackled the nude man. Spokesperson for the airline apologized to guests who were impacted by the incident. Eventually, everybody got where they were going, presumably except for the nude guy. But you've got a story to tell on your vacation. You're not going to believe what happened to us on the flight. Let's see. Now, this is kind of unique. The Kentucky Blood Center. This is, I'm not sure where in Kentucky. This is the Kentucky Blood Center. Blood donor organization in the state of Kentucky. Report says that anyone who gives blood between now and June 29th is going to be entered to win two tickets to Taylor Swift's final U.S. date of the Eras Tour in November in Indianapolis. What a prize, right? The chance to win Taylor Swift tickets for donating blood. The winner also receives a $500 gift card to cover expenses of getting there. Each donor will receive a Taylor-inspired T-shirt, and friendship bracelets are available at door at donor centers through this week. If you give blood anytime between now and June 29th, I saw that story and I thought to myself, I wonder if they're prepared for the influx of Taylor Swift fans who are ready to give blood, because I know most Taylor Swift fans would happily give blood to be able to see Taylor Swift and get tickets to the Eras Tour. I don't know if they're going to be flooded with an influx of people from Kentucky and all over the Midwest flocking to give blood as a result. But it's a... it's a great idea. All right. Elsewhere in the broken news. Now, this was kind of a unique story. Out of Southern California, a black bear broke into a home in the foothill community of Monrovia this past weekend, I believe it was. It was over this weekend or a weekend before last. Anyway, it was recently broke into a home. The black bear... is well known within the community. He went straight to the kitchen, grabbed a package of Oreos and left through the back door with the cookies, the package of cookies in his mouth. That's all he took. Broke into the home, got a package of Oreos, and then absconded with his bounty. The homeowners say the bear has been going to several properties in the neighborhood, roaming backyards to look for food or to take a dip in people's swimming pools. But what's ironic about this is that Oreos were all that he stole, and the black bear actually has a nickname among the locals. They call him Oreo. And now you know why. He was nicknamed that before he absconded with the Oreos. Now he has definitely earned his nickname. I thought that was cute. Police in Orange County, California, looking for a chef who stabbed another chef in the neck. The knife attack happened Monday night at the Flaming Buffet in Fullerton, Orange County, California. Police say the two got into some kind of an argument, which led to one of them stabbing the other and then running away. The victim in the case was taken to the hospital. He is going to be fine. He's going to recover. Thank goodness. Police continue searching for the attacker. But it strikes me that that's probably, you don't want to anger a chef. I mean, they work with knives. They've got sharp instruments. But that's quite an argument, right? And finally, in the broken news this morning, the odd and unusual side of the headlines. A woman under arrest and facing multiple charges after leading Memphis police on a high-speed chase. Officers were attempting to stop Alexis Taylor when she drove away, speeding and driving erratically, before the chase ended a few miles away. When officers went up to the car, they found there was a baby inside. On the high-speed chase with a baby in the car. She's facing several charges, including evading arrest, endangering a child, driving on a suspended license, okay? And I presume she is out of the running for Mother of the Year. Probably should not expect to earn that designation. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. The nonprofit organization Trust for Public Land has just released a new survey. I think it's not really a survey, an analysis, if you will, comparing the parks in the public parks in the nation's 100 most populous cities, it's the nation's largest cities. Factors that they considered in putting the list together of the best cities with the best parks include park equity, access, investment in parks and public spaces, amenities offered in said parks and public spaces, and total acreage of the amounts of parks and green space in these cities. Cincinnati is the top Ohio city at number 8 out of 100 nationally. Cincinnati, the best parks of any of Ohio's cities. Toledo's parks actually ranked 2nd among Ohio cities and 27th overall on the list, with solid marks for equity and access. Washington, D.C. actually topped the list as the U.S. city with the highest park score, which is probably not surprising when you think about all of the monuments and the open spaces and so on. They're all they're all considered public parks, so they have a lot of them, and they're very well kept and so on. So not a big surprise Washington, D.C. was number 1 overall on the list. Now, What I thought was interesting about this, Findlay, of course, was not ranked due to our size. We're not one of the 100 largest cities in the country. But even though we weren't ranked, they do have data for smaller cities all across the country. And looking up Findlay, the organization basically says we have some work to do with respect to our parks. Only 2% of the land area locally is reserved for parks and recreation. Just 2%. The national median, according to their data, is 15%. So we're well below that. And just 35% of Findlay residents live within a 10-minute walk of a park, compared to 75% on average for the 100 largest cities on their list. And that's their goal, is for everybody to live within a 10-minute walk of a park. And we are well below that in Findlay. So kind of interesting, some of the areas where, you know, we fall short with respect to our parks. We've got great parks, but there is always room for improvement. Kind of interesting stuff there. So, happening around town, beginning this week, as a matter of fact, you can kick off your summer weekends with a rally in the alley. That's right, it's back. Doug Jenkins, the Findlay-Hancock County Chamber of Commerce, is with us this morning. Doug, thanks for dropping by. Good to see you again.
Hey, Chris. Good
Hopefully
to be here.
Hopefully the weather is a little more cooperative come Friday.
Let's just get it all out of the system now.
Yeah, exactly. I think it will be, because there have been years when we've we've been a little snake bit, but we're going to take good thoughts for a rally in the alley this year. Folks familiar with how this works?
Yeah, so it's the way we kick off weekends in the summer here in Findlay. It's a free event for everybody downtown. You come down to the Latham courtyard there, right next to the glass block building. We've got bands, we have free food while supplies last, we have beverages for purchase, and it's a really good time. We've got a really good lineup this year, and everybody just comes out and kind of blows off some steam to start the weekend.
Yeah, starts off the weekend, and I always say, if you don't know where Latham Courtyard is, all you have to do is follow the crowds. You follow the crowds to the music and the food. That's where they're, that's where everybody's going.
Just listen for it, and it's pretty easy to find. What I love about it is it's a great way to highlight downtown Findlay. You come down, it's from 5 to 8 on Fridays there, so it's not a late night for anybody. Get off work, you know, gather up. Come on down, spend an hour or two with us, and then maybe go get a late dinner or something while you're downtown.
So give us kind of the lineup. This runs through the first weekend in August.
That's correct. So we'll be we'll start this Friday. And again, the weather looking better, but let's knock on wood on that. Yeah. Next week is Boogie on Broadway with the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts, or excuse me, Boogie on the Block. So we don't do a rally that night, so we don't want to conflict with that. Then we'll be on through June, be off 4th of July weekend, all through the rest of July, and then wrap up on August 2nd. So
this week, 100 Proof is the musical guest.
Yes.
And the baking company and bread needs be providing the grub.
That's right. And so she is got some chicken salad sandwiches, I think is what I was talking about. Maybe egg salad sandwiches too. So not supposed to be too hot out or anything. So I think it'll be a great kind of like a picnic type of lunch for you.
Yeah. And then you have the rotating group of bands and artists and also restaurants.
Yeah. So it's a good way to highlight different Findlay area restaurants throughout the season. Also, a big thanks to our sponsors. We have one or two every week that help us put this on and make sure that we're able to keep it a free event for the community. Could not do it without them. So stop out, say hi to them. Usually, they've got some canned koozies too. So if your supply is a little bit low, you know, you can grab a canned koozie.
Never have too many.
That's
right.
No.
So again, Fridays, beginning this Friday, 5 to 8 at Latham Courtyard for Rally in the Alley, back once again this year. Also, another event that is coming up here in a couple of weeks. Tickets are on sale now for the Farmer's Share Breakfast.
That's correct. That's coming up pretty soon, actually. June 13th is when we'll be holding the annual Farmer's Share Breakfast. It's at 7 in the morning. Doors open at 7. Usually the program starts around 7:30 or so out of the old Millstream Center on the Hancock County Fairgrounds. It's a really great way to honor agriculture's past in Hancock County, and also promote the future of agriculture in Hancock County. So we have the Hall of Fame Award winners from the OSU Extension Office. They're honored at the event. We get the year in review from Ed Lentz as well. But we also give away scholarships to kids who are looking to go into an ag-related field with their post-secondary. And that can be food science. It really spans a huge thing. Yeah. We've had kids go for diesel mechanics that are planning on working on tractors when they're done getting their education. So we're giving away, I think, more than $8,000 in scholarships this year. So very excited for that.
That is terrific. And I know that the history of the Farmers Share Breakfast, this dates back many, many years. And originally it was, and this is just kind of emphasizes the importance of agriculture and why it is in many cases such a challenging profession. Originally, and the reason it's called this, is that the cost was basically what the farmer's share was of the breakfast that you would have, the meal that you would have. It demonstrated just how little farmers make from your total food dollar.
It was 45 cents when it first started, according to Gary Wilson. The Agribusiness Committee has been together since 1989.
We're talking egg, sausage, you know,
it's a big meal.
Full big breakfast for like 45 cents
to
drive home that point that farmers, and just to give an idea of how well farmers have to manage their expenses based on the kind of income they get from the foods that we buy at the grocery store, it's not that anymore because you can't afford to do it that way anymore.
It would be awful difficult to do it that way.
You can't even put a breakfast on for the farmer's share of what they will take in from the average meal.
So it's $7 now, which is still a pretty good price for breakfast out. And it's a big portion, too. So,
and that just drives further home the point that the farmer's share is much, much less than that.
Oh, most definitely. So, and you can pick up tickets at the Chamber of Commerce. You can also get them at the OSU Ag Extension on County Road 140, but plenty of tickets available. It's a great way to start off that morning. It's a Thursday, so you get up bright and early, celebrate agriculture in Hancock County, and you may go to work with a bit of a food coma. That's the only drawback. It's really the only drawback.
That's okay.
To it.
Yeah. I mean, as all things considered, if that's the worst problem you have, you know,
it's a good way to start the day.
Yeah, exactly. And then the proceeds from this go to what?
So that helps raise money for our scholarship programming, first and foremost, and then agriculture education in Hancock County as well. So occasionally we've donated to the Historical Society because they host the agriculture exhibit there, which is really cool. You know, hundreds of kids go and see that every year. Mm-hmm. So it helps promote things like that and really just keep agriculture in the forefront in Hancock County.
Which, the more our community expands, the more diverse our economy becomes. It's easier and easier to kind of put that in the background, but it is still such a huge part of the
biggest industry in Hancock County.
Yeah. And the date on the Farmer's Share Breakfast is?
June 13th. Doors open at 7. Get your tickets before then.
And get them sooner rather than later because there are only so many. Right?
That's right. A limited amount. So you want to go ahead and on that.
They are on sale now. Rally in the Alley. No tickets for that.
No tickets.
That begins this Friday beginning at 5 o'clock downtown. And again, Doug Jenkins with the Findlay Hancock County Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Good to be here.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. And once again, remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program with the theme of Forward Together, we'll preview this weekend's Pride in the Park event with folks at LGBTQ Spectrum of Findlay. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.